You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Late last month, Amazon closed a $3.9 billion deal to acquire One Medical, a membership-based primary care practice. The provider, which was founded in 2007, leans heavily on technology for care, using things like telehealth visits and apps for scheduling appointments. The acquisition is a big step for Amazon, but not a surprising one. Since taking over from founder Jeff Bezos in 2021, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy has made it clear that he sees the healthcare industry as a major area for expansion. Annie Palmer is a technology reporter for CNBC, and she's been following this acquisition. Hey, Annie, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first off, what is One Medical and how does it work?
So One Medical is this startup that has a collection of brick and mortar primary care pharmacies, as well as this telehealth component that allows customers to be in contact with a physician on call, you know, virtually, and then set up appointments at these neighborhood clinics in their area.
And they also have this app, like there's a telehealth component here. So it's kind of like an integrated going into a clinic plus being able to access healthcare 24/7. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So it's really trying to address this pain point in the healthcare system here in the US where customers can sometimes face long wait times in order to actually get in front of a physician. And so what these telehealth companies more broadly are trying to get at is allowing patients to have access to a doctor and open up the lines of communication in a virtual way that they didn't have before.
So what does this acquisition of One Medical do for Amazon? Why are they doing this?
Yeah. So, Amazon has been trying to make inroads in the healthcare space for quite a while now. They've launched their own ventures over the years. Most notably probably would be Amazon Care, which started as a telehealth experiment for its own employees. It then spun that out as more of a public-facing project that it was looking to sign up companies onto this Amazon Care offering. And they ended up winding that down in the last year or so, basically saying this wasn't meeting expectations. And while we had some, initial interest from companies that were interested, it just wasn't really meeting their need. Fast forward several months later, they are acquiring One Medical. And, in having conversations with Amazon leadership in their health space, they've said, we don't necessarily see the failure of Amazon Care as this black eye on our healthcare ambitions. We took our learnings from that and we're applying them to One Medical, which they feel might provide them a stronger foundation to make inroads in, telehealth and primary care.
Well, what are the broader goals for entering the healthcare industry? I mean, what place does Amazon hope to take in their customers' lives?
Yeah. So if you talk to anybody at Amazon, they'll always say, Amazon is this customer-centric company. They're always thinking about ways that they can make customers' lives easier. And obviously the poster child for that would be the Prime program, where they've managed to shorten delivery times down to 2 days to now even same day. And so they feel like in healthcare, there's room for them to kind of apply that so-called Amazon magic, where thinking about the patient journey today, there's long wait times to get in front of a doctor, getting your prescription. You gotta go to your local pharmacy and wait in line to get it. And if you're feeling sick, it can be kind of an unenjoyable experience. And then not to mention all the issues with, insurance covering this and that. Amazon feels like there's an opening for them to apply some of the big tech, know-how to, potentially improve and simplify that whole process for patients.
I mean, I suppose if you back up and think, okay, Amazon starts out selling books, then they start selling everything. They move into grocery. Of course, their cloud computing services are one of the most profitable parts of their business. They've conquered so many parts of people's lives. This seems like the next horizon, our bodies.
Yeah, that's a very bleak way of looking at it. But yeah, I think they do feel like this is an untapped market for them. as we've been kind of talking about, they've had a bit of a mixed bag record, rather, in that space. You know, they've been saying that they're going to upend healthcare for how many years now, and yet they haven't really launched anything that's been groundbreaking in the industry. You know, they launched this Amazon Pharmacy offering back in 2021, where folks can buy prescriptions online, but, you know, Amazon isn't selling prescriptions. They are just providing a platform for folks to buy them. When you think about it that way, they're still kind of tapping into their original core business of being a platform for people to buy things.
Google and Apple have made some forays into healthcare. Is there kind of a health tech competition emerging here that Amazon wants to get out in front of?
Yeah, I think a lot of tech companies have been kind of going head to head in the health tech space for many years now. You know, Google Health was a thing for a while. Microsoft has also been, you know, a player in the space. Apple seems to have taken more of an approach of integrating, you know, health features into their hardware, which is kind of a more distinct strategy compared to Amazon, which, you know, like we've been saying, has been focusing more on the services end of things.
When will we get to the point where tech giants like Amazon or Apple or Google are actually competitive with like a health juggernaut such as United Health Group? Are we there yet? Are we approaching where we can see on the horizon that might happen?
I think we're a long ways off before, you know, any tech giant rises to the level of, you know, the juggernauts in the space. You know, it's still not clear to me exactly that any of these companies have the ambition of rivaling a United Healthcare. It seems to me more like Amazon and you know, speaking of Amazon's strategy specifically, it seems to me more like they are eyeing CVS or Walgreens as more of a direct competitor just based on their various offerings in online prescription ordering and telehealth, things like that, and meshing those with a brick and mortar presence. That seems to be more like CVS and Walgreens arena, if anything.
I think that a lot of people appreciate the convenience of Amazon. They also are concerned about what the consolidation under one company might do to small businesses, to the marketplace. And when it comes to healthcare, it strikes me that there's a number of pitfalls that might crop up here. Are there concerns here about a huge amount of consolidation of even health services being under that big tech umbrella?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Amazon's acquisition of One Medical has drawn scrutiny from the Federal Trade Commission, who, you know, when Amazon announced that they closed the deal last month, the FTC sent both companies this, you know, so-called close at your own peril letter, basically warning them that you can proceed with this deal, but we still have the ability to, you know, take a look at it at a later point. And they've said that, you know, they not only have concerns about competition and consolidation, but also user privacy. So one of the things they've said is, you know, there's concerns of how Amazon manages sensitive consumer health information and how they could potentially use that for advertising.
So Lina Khan, the FTC chair, who came in really as a champion for antitrust and looking really hard at big mergers, has said, I guess, in these letters that just because you close, don't think that we're not still looking at this. Does that mean that there could still be regulatory action?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, the FTC has always reserved the right to be able to look back at an acquisition after it's been completed. So it's very possible that the FTC, you know, they've said we're still probing this deal, even though it's completed. Now, that being said, it is harder for the FTC to bring an action against a company after, you know, a deal has been completed, simply because they would have to unwind the combined companies. I'm not super sure how far along Amazon is in terms of integrating One Medical into the company, but, you know, it's much harder to wind the clock back, so to speak,
sure,
than to stop it before it happens.
That was CNBC technology reporter Annie Palmer. She's been following Amazon's deal to purchase One Medical. Welcome back to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Amazon's acquisition of primary care practice One Medical is the company's latest attempt to stake a claim in the healthcare industry. As part of the deal, it'll gain more than 800,000 customers and their valuable health data. And there are growing concerns about the protections built around that data. Earlier this month, the FTC hit the online counseling and mental health app BetterHelp with a $7.8 million fine. The agency also banned BetterHelp from further sharing of consumers' health data with third-party companies like Facebook, Snapchat, and Pinterest. My next guest says companies using health information to sell us things is more common than you might think, and we should be asking hard questions about how and why our data is used. Dr. Thomas Paine is a professor of medicine and biomedical informatics at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Dr. Paine, welcome to KUOW.
My pleasure.
Technology companies collect user data. I mean, that's what makes many of the services we use online profitable for them. But a doctor's appointment really feels like one of the last privacy barriers to hold on to in our modern world. How does HIPAA relate to big technology and customer health data?
Well, HIPAA is a complicated law that governs release of identified health information. If it is not identified, then HIPAA is not as big a factor as it would otherwise be. So it's important. It protects our information in many ways, but it doesn't protect all of our information. And it's a little dated, quite honestly.
In what ways is it dated? I'm thinking about this case where the FTC fined BetterHelp for sharing its customers' email addresses with Facebook, Snapchat, and other social media apps. And they were shared based on, for example, the prior mental health counseling history of those patients. So in groups of people who sought mental health counseling in a Christian mode or for LGBTQ people, things like that. What's HIPAA's role when a technology company wants to share information and make money off of our email addresses in that way?
Well, I think just the description of this practice makes most people pause and wonder whether that's right. So HIPAA is a complicated law that's been updated. I think one of the key questions is, if my information is released, will people know it's about me? Will it be de-identified? And certainly if you release email addresses with private information, then it's not de-identified. It is possible to trace that back to you. But even if you don't, it is possible, much more than it was in 1996 when HIPAA was written and passed, to put the pieces together from many sources and figure out whose information it is. And it may not be that organizations will go to that effort, but if they wanted to, increasingly they're able to do so. So de-identification is not as perfect as people might think it is.
In what ways is it dated? I'm thinking about this BetterHelp case where people who were looking for mental health care filled out an online questionnaire where they spoke about their potential for suicidal ideation, other serious health information that they shared on the questionnaire. And BetterHelp, according to the FTC, shared email addresses with companies like Facebook and Snapchat. And those email addresses included the prior mental health counseling information. So, for example, if somebody had prior mental health counseling, they had indicated that on the questionnaire, they were in one group of email addresses that were sent to Facebook. So it wasn't like individualized medical information was shared, but this information was used to target them with ads through Facebook and Snapchat. In what ways do you think HIPAA or other privacy concerns might be raised as tech companies are moving more into healthcare?
If it is de-identified, then that would be legal. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but my reading of the law is that if it's de-identified, that would be possible. And I think one thing to remember is that one of the the reasons that our country went to electronic health records was so that we could learn from the practice of care. So it isn't inherently a problem, in my view, to try to learn from the records of everyday Americans. But I think several things have to be in place before we're comfortable. Many of us are comfortable with that happening. First, it does have to be identified, and that is harder and harder to do. We also need to wonder about whether we have given permission for that to happen, since it is our story, our medical record, and we should be asked if that's okay. I think most organizations that you're mentioning will do this. They will ask permission, or there'll be some form that says that this is permissible. But if we back up for a minute, I wonder how many of us read those forms carefully and understand that when we sign, that that's going to be our practice.
I would think that companies like Amazon, Google, and Apple that have made moves into this healthcare space would say, we're disrupting the industry in a way that's going to be better for the patient. Do you have any reflection on that and what they would probably push back on in terms of, sure, this is a monetizing data, but it will also make things better for people and their interactions with the healthcare system?
Well, first of all, I welcome disruption from companies that have been so successful. I think healthcare has enough problems. We need their help. And I'm enthusiastic when a new idea comes up from outside of the traditional healthcare system that may have promise. So nothing wrong there. I think a lot of this is very new to all of us, including these companies, to have access to electronic health records. And I think we need to be very thoughtful about that, because I'm a little worried that there might be a pushback from the public when people understand that the records are being used for other purposes, and they didn't know it was happening. Even if it was mentioned in a form they signed when they were in the emergency room and not fully concentrating on every last line of the consent form. So I think to protect the value of this information for truly helping in healthcare, I think we need to be very cautious and perhaps a little more slowly moving in using that information the way it's being used today, particularly when there's a fair amount of money in play here. It's a big industry.
Dr. Thomas Paine is a professor of medicine and biomedical informatics at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Thank you for sharing your perspective, doctor. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.